On this episode of The Edge, I interview Janilyn Kidd, Clear Edge's Senior Creative Director and Brand Strategist, on the topic of branding. We discuss what it means to have a strong brand, the advantages of having a strong brand, and how companies can work towards building a stronger brand. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi everyone, it's Emily Tatum, and today I am here with Clear Edge's Senior Creative Director and Brand Strategist, Janilyn Kidd. Janilyn, thank you for coming on The Edge.
Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you on today. You are just the cream of the crop here at Clear Edge. Everybody always wants you on their projects. You are a pro at everything with brands and design, and I could interview you on 100 topics. So today I really want to keep it simple, and we will start from the beginning with talking about brand, because every time I work with you on a project, you always have so much insight on the brand and figuring out the brand story before we do anything as it relates to marketing. So I wanted to have you on, talk about brand, and hopefully we can go from there. Does that sound good?
That sounds great. I'm excited.
Great. So let's start from the top. What does the term brand mean for organizations?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's one that's often confused. I think we tend to very quickly think about brand in terms of a logo, which makes really good sense, because when you think of brands, like the cattle industry, for example, historically a brand has been a mark that is placed on an item or an animal to sort of signify that they belong to a certain farmer. And so there's a lot of other associations similar to that that sort of make us think pretty quickly that it has something to do with a symbol or a mark. But the reality is brand is sort of much bigger than that. It's much more conceptual. It is much more of a feeling, an intuition. It's very esoteric in a way. And I think the leader out there that I've heard give the best definition of brand is Amazon's Jeff Bezos, who talks about brand as being the thing that other people say about you or your company when you're not in the room. And that has always really, really summed it up well for me.
Yeah.
So for organizations, brand is really that thing that folks know to be true about them, that story that their customers and their clients and their loyalists know to be true about them. And it goes beyond visual communication and beyond logo, and really sits in this place of feeling.
Definitely. That's a great way to sum it up. And I had no idea that brand goes back to, cows. That makes sense. And Janilyn, what does a strong brand look like to you? I'm sure it might be different to everybody, but what does a strong brand look like to you?
Yeah, that's a good point, Emily. It is really subjective. It does look different ways to different people. The same brand, despite how it's visually communicated, might be perceived in different ways by different types of people. And so I would probably even say it's more about feeling than it is about look. It sort of starts in this place of feeling, in this very qualitative space, and it's about an experience that people have with a company or with a person or with a product or with a service. And there's something magical that happens, And it's really relative more to story and to feeling and to experience. And if you're really well connected with your brand and connected to your market and your audience, and you know what those folks are experiencing and know what makes them loyal to your product or to your service, then you'll really be able to turn that into some kind of external communication, whether it be visual or a copy, or any other things, messaging, those things will help you to really amplify that feeling and that story to whoever your market is.
That's a good point, that it's not necessarily all visual. Because when I think of a brand, I think of organizations who have really strong visual communications where you could recognize their logo from a mile away, like Coca-Cola or Nike, brands of that nature, where I know the swoosh, I know the red. What is an example for you of a strong brand that invokes that feeling?
I think the two examples that you shared are great examples. Coca-Cola is actually a really fantastic example. I mean, it is an iconic brand for a reason. And if you think about sort of what I was just sharing about an experience and a story, we all know, we maybe don't know it tangibly all the time, but we all know that there's something about Coca-Cola that makes us think of happiness. And really, this idea of happiness is a key component of their brand. And so this starts with something like, you know, some of their classic taglines, like have a Coke and a smile. The way that they incorporate bubbles into some of their photography, into some of their video, even the folks that they use in their commercials and in their advertising are always really happy. There is this wonderful sense of happiness that sort of flows through every touch point. So it's not even just the visual touch points like I'm talking about, the look of the can or the advertisements, but certainly the type of events that they're throwing, the way that they're, the different kinds of sort of physical guerrilla campaigns that they're using to connect with their consumers. It might be the types of events that they're sponsoring. All of those things have kind of this undercurrent or this thread of happiness. And really, that's the thing that makes the brand connection. That's the thing that helps people to feel really loyal to a brand like Coca-Cola and to continue to connect with it and to be ambassadors for it as well.
Right. So you started to touch on it just with what the cohesiveness of having an organization where all the touch points are cohesive and the customers can relate to all the touch points. What are advantages of having a strong brand identity?
Yeah, I think the biggest advantage is that relationship. So when you have a strong brand and a strong brand identity and you're communicating from a place of those strengths, then you're creating some consistency in your experience with your customer, your client, or your stakeholder. There's something really wonderful about that kind of consistency and predictability. It lets your audience know exactly what it is that they're going to get. And it is constantly reaffirming what they know to be true about you. And, you know, in a world, as we all know, that feels very unstable often, it's really important to know that you're going to get something consistent. You're going to get a consistent experience. You're going to get a consistent service. And it's all going to be packaged in a way that sort of feels together and tight and maybe not so chaotic like other things might be.
Right. I think you bring up a really great point that all of that leads to brand loyalty too. You know, I am very loyal in the brands that I like. And even if they mess up, if there's one moment where they're not consistent and something does happen, you know, I mean, depending on how bad it is, I am still loyal to that brand. I recognize it as a mistake, or they didn't mean to do it. That's not who they are. Understanding and having that connection to the brand, I think, really comes across with the brands who have it down and are just really strong with knowing who they are.
Yeah, exactly. It allows us, like, even in a similar to our human relationships, when there's little failures, it allows us, it gives us space to forgive, because we trust what we know to be true about that brand. Certainly, there are probably some examples of some big failures out there, and that's what you want to avoid. But as long as you're sort of maintaining your sort of core brand values and story and experience, and you're being very consistent with all those and evolving them in a way that feels consistent, then there's going to be wonderful acts of forgiveness along the way when you have little slip-ups.
Totally. And you have said to me, all companies have a brand. Some have lost sight of their brand story, and some are really in touch with it. What are some signs that an organization has lost sight of their brand?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. I come from a place of believing that that every single company has a brand, unless you're a ground level startup and you're just sort of trying to figure that out as you're starting up your company. But often, you know, where the brand story comes from in a startup situation is from the folks that are starting the company. It kind of starts with them and their own identities and their own aspirations. And then that sort of moves and evolves into the company itself. But what I found, you know, over the years is that every single company has a brand. Sometimes they think they need a new brand, but really all that they need is kind of to be back in touch with their story and evolve it in a way that that reconnects with their audience. So, I mean, there's probably some very tactical reasons or clues that would make you wonder whether or not you've lost sight of your brand. I mean, maybe, you know, it could be things like, you know, sales are down, customers are leaving. But since I sort of live in the more conceptual space of brand, I tend to think that companies often get engrossed in the other sides of their business, which is building their business, the important stuff, the statistics and the sales and, you know, employees. And it's basically sort of the day-to-day business stuff. And it's very easy to just let the brand stuff go. And then what I found is that at some point, as they're taking a hard look at their business and a hard look at their stakeholders and customers, there is some sense of disconnect there. And often what that means is they might have not been in touch with either where their brand started and where it's evolved to, or they might really feel that their customers don't really know what their story is. And I think this is super common when you need to really focus on the day-to-day granular detail of a business. You sort of forget about the conceptual space of branding. And so often, just like, you know, in a personal relationship where you might need to, like, get back in touch with that old friend, some companies just need to get back in touch with their brand story and see how they can evolve it in terms of messaging and visual communication, any kind of external communication, so that they can tell their story in a little bit more of an effective way, really speak to their customers.
What are some steps that if someone has started to lose sight of their brand. What are some steps to building that brand up again and overall creating a stronger brand?
Yeah, I think it's very easy for any of us to think that the first step would be to like build a new logo or create some new messaging. And I tend to, because brand is about, as we were talking earlier, about experience and about story, and it is a bit esoteric. It is that thing that your customers and stakeholders say about you when you're not in the room. And without that nugget, that really key strategic nugget, you can't really move into a place of, you know, evolving a logo or creating new messaging or writing new copy on the website, for example, all of these different communication vehicles for your brand. And so often we ask clients to sort of take a step back before we get into the tangible communication and have a really good, hard look at what that story is. And there's sort of two components of that story. There's the company themselves and what they're doing and what they perceive that they're doing about themselves and what they perceive their story is and what they aspire to be. But then there's also their audience, their loyalists, their clients, their stakeholders, even their employees. And they often have a story as well about what they think and feel about the company. And what we found is that there's often a communication gap between the two stories. And so spending the time to research and discover all of the stories and then where that gap is in communication really helps us to create a solid foundation to build upon. You know, so we've got this solid strategic brand foundation. We've really gotten everyone back in touch with the story and with all those intangible things and all those things that folks are saying about them when they're not around. And then what we do at ClearEdge is we're able to kind of take that wonderful discovery and that story, and then evolve it into external communication, whether it be images or words or, you know, potential opportunities, conferences, you name it. Though all of those things then become this really powerful strategic external expression of the brand.
Yeah, I think that you bring up a really great point that companies sometimes automatically assume we need a new logo or we need to change our colors. Our colors are outdated or something along those lines, when really it's stepping back and it could be really, really small tweaks that just help put the missing piece in the puzzle to bring everything together. And it is exciting right now. I mean, you're on this project with me too. We're interviewing some of the clients for one of our clients as well as their internal employees, and it's fascinating to see their responses for what they think about the brand in general or their mascot that they have, their coloring, and being able to build really, not even like creating from scratch, but building on that story to find the missing piece that'll take their brand to the next level.
Yeah. I often think about brands as almost like human beings, almost like you or I. We are our own brands. And, you know, there's certainly times during the year where you want to kind of have a new something, you know, a new haircut, or maybe, you know, go out and buy a new wardrobe. And what we don't realize and what we don't think about in those moments is that regardless of that little bit of a change, we're still the same person. And so we're not changing fundamentally who we are. We are doing kind of a little fresh up. And often we do those things for companies, but we make them understand what it is underneath all of that is getting refreshed so that we can refresh it in the right way.
Definitely. And I didn't send you this question over before, but I am just so curious. What is your, or who, is it what or who when you're referring to brand? We just spoke to it as a person, so I'm not sure.
I know.
What is an example of, or who is a favorite brand of yours? Or I'm sure you have a couple, so maybe just one of the top ones that you just love their brand and why?
Oh, my goodness. I think you're going to stump me because there's so many. Gosh, this is a really great question. And I have to probably go to at least brands that I have had experiences with, because these are probably all consumer brands, because I've had touch points with them since I was a kid. I think those are that's the stuff that makes really wonderful brands are the ones that, we have sort of long-term connections with. It's very similar to, friends and family. And I am drawing a blank.
Totally fine. I know I threw that one out of nowhere.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about something more recently, which is like Moleskin, for example, Moleskin Journals. Certainly I'm going to give you two examples. So yeah. Moleskin Journals, I buy a new Moleskin Journal every single year and, to work on, to use for, journaling and for client meetings, and ideas and sketches. And, every year when I go to get one or two of them, I go into my local bookstore and they have all sorts of different journals in there. I can have my pick of any number of brands. But the wonderful thing about Moleskin, I mean, aside from the way that it's crafted and how it looks visually, there's something really special for me about the experience that I have with it. Every time I use it, no matter what the page style is, no matter what the size of it is, I'm getting the same kind of consistent experience with it. Every time I open it up, it feels the same. Every time I write on the paper, I sort of experience the same thing. And then whenever I experience Moleskin out in the world, so when I'm going into other bookstores or into specific Moleskin shops, I just know the quality. I know the type of experience that I'm going to get from that product. The other brands that I'm going to use, which is one that everyone talks about, and our clients always bring up because it is so iconic, but that's going to be Apple.
Yep.
I'm dating myself here, but I was a teenager or younger maybe when the first Apple computers came out. And it was, of course, computers in general were very groundbreaking, particularly personal computers. And I am old enough to remember those first advertisements for Apple, particularly the really iconic ones that just supported this idea of being on the bleeding edge, being part of this, incredible innovation, and the fact that you Joe user or Jane user could actually, participate in this experience and enjoy this product. But as they've evolved, I think that, that Apple, what it's done is it's not just created these gorgeous products, but it has created an experience. And that starts from, when you go to the store and engage with the employees, and sort of how they're dressed and what they're called and what their name badges look like and how everything is displayed in the store. There's this wonderful sort of story and vibe about that experience. But it doesn't end there. You know, you bring this beautiful package home, and you open it up, and it's all like just beautifully, consistently packaged. And then when you open up that computer, like every time you open up the computer for the first time or turn on your brand new phone for the first time, there's that like, hello.
Yes.
That pops up in every single language. And it just sort of reinforces this purchase, this very expensive purchase that you've made. By consistently sort of engaging in a way that is that generates wonder and friendliness, that makes it like a drug. It makes you want to continue to engage and go back to that product all the time for that consistent experience.
Right. Apple does a great job, and it does, it goes back to the loyalty. Like once you use the products once, typically, you just want to again and again and again, because you're right, the story never ends, you know, at the store or at the website. Like, it continues because everything is cohesive, looks great, the story is just throughout your whole journey with the products. That's a great example. And you're right, one that we hear all the time with clients, especially with websites. We like Apple.
Yes.
It's true. Well, Janalyn, I could talk to you forever about brands. You just have the most beautiful, poetic way of speaking about brands, and I really appreciate you coming on today, and I look forward to talking with you again soon about other aspects of design and brands.
Yes, anytime. Thank you for talking with me.
Yes, thank you so much. And if anyone has any questions that they would like to follow up with you, what is the best way for you to be reached?
I think the best way is through our website, clearedgemarketing.com, and you can find a link on the About Us page.
Great. Thank you so much, Janalyn. As always, I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Emily.
Talk to you soon. Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum, T-A-T-U-M, at clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.